In California, new legislation makes it illegal for schools to use materials that assumes the normal family has a mom and a dad. What's next? A male prom queen? Well, yes. And is Bill Clinton helping Hillary? We'll discuss the latest in presidential campaign politics. And we'll answer the question, who's stealing Christmas? This is Jerry Johnson live from Criswell College. Join us as we look at today's news from the Christian worldview for Christ and culture.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
I have a dream.
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is.
And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
We will not tire, we will not falter, and we will not fail.
Welcome to Jerry Johnson Live. For the next hour, this is your place for relevant discussion of topics in the news and in our culture from a Christian perspective. Your host is Dr. Jerry Johnson, President of Criswell College and Criswell Communications. Later in the show, we'll open the toll-free lines for your questions and comments. You may also email us at talk@jerryjohnsonlive.com. Now, here's your host, Dr. Jerry Johnson.
I'm proudly here to urge Republicans and independents in New Hampshire to come out on January 8th and make John McCain the next president of the United States.
Thank you very much for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Penna Dexter, sitting in for Dr. Jerry Johnson today. And, of course, there's lots of big endorsements for some candidates these days. In fact, that one was Senator Joe Lieberman, Connecticut senator, endorsing John McCain, a Republican, for president of the United States. That's very interesting. Of course, Lieberman has been a Democrat. He ran with Al Gore for president. For vice president on that ticket. He changed to independent when he had some problems in Connecticut getting nominated on the Democrat ticket. So he's a senator from Connecticut, and he's really an independent who caucuses with Democrats, but he is now endorsing a Republican, John McCain. What does that say about John McCain? What does that say about this race? Does it matter? Also, another big-time endorsement, Hillary Clinton's pretty happy because in Iowa, the Des Moines Register has endorsed her. Here's her ad.
The Des Moines Register just endorsed Hillary Clinton. Her readiness to lead sets her apart. From working for children's rights as a young lawyer to meeting with leaders around the world as First Lady, to emerging as an effective legislator, every stage of her life has prepared her for the presidency. She understands the changes needed, but also possesses the discipline and skill to get things done. We believe Hillary Rodham Clinton can do great things for our country.
I'm Hillary Clinton, and I approve this message.
And of course, her husband, Bill Clinton, is out there helping her. We're going to get to your calls and your opinions on this a little bit later in the program. Is he helping? Or is he not helping her? Ladies and gentlemen, we're also going to talk about the Christmas wars, which are continuing. Mike Johnson with the Alliance Defense Fund is going to join us later in the program. He'll give us a report on, among other things, public manger scenes and other displays of Christmas that are really being attacked across the country. He'll tell us what's legal and what is not legal. And also, there's some new laws that are taking effect in the state of California, which is actually my native state. And I've got a lot of family out there, and they're not all crazy and liberal in California, but some people are, and they're foisting the homosexual agenda on California. These laws will eventually impact schools across the nation. It is now illegal in the state of California for textbooks to acknowledge the traditional family, mom, dad, and kids, as any more normal than, say, two lesbian moms and their child. We're going to get a rundown on this legislation, how it's going to lead to boys using the girls' restroom, vice versa, being allowed to do so, and all sorts of other mischief in California. And we're going to talk about why this matters to us here in this part of the country. And with us to discuss it is an assemblyman from the state of California. He is Joel Anderson. Joel, thank you so much for joining us. I guess Joel is not quite with us yet. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let's get back to a little presidential politics while we wait for him. Mitt Romney also running for president, was on Meet the Press this weekend. And he's talking again about his faith. He says he doesn't really expect evangelical Christians to support his Mormon faith.
The realm of doctrines and differences and histories between churches, that's very separate than the affairs of state.
And he says he knows that some people, including us here on Jerry Johnson Live, don't believe that Mormons are Christians.
To some folks, the term Christian refers to a certain group of evangelical faiths that adhere to the Nicene Creed and so forth. And if that's the definition of Christian that they have, why, that's their right to define it that way. There are others who say, no, if you believe, as I do, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that makes one Christian.
And one more issue to put out there on the table, Mitt Romney actually talking about the Mormon Church and their beliefs. He very seldom talks about their beliefs, but he is talking about this particular criticism, which is that blacks for many, many years were banned from participation in the Mormon Church. He was interviewed by Tim Russert on Meet the Press yesterday. He said, the day the Mormon Church decided they would no longer bar blacks from participation is a day that he was happy and actually wept for joy.
And I was anxious to see a change in my church. I can remember when I heard about the change being made. I was driving home from, I think it was law school, but I was driving home, going through the Fresh Pond Rotary in Cambridge, Massachusetts. I heard it on the radio, and I pulled over and literally wept. Even to this day, it's emotional. And so it's very deep and fundamental in my life and my most core beliefs that all people are children of God. My faith has always told me that. My faith has also always told me that in the eyes of God, every individual was merited the fullest degree of happiness in the hereafter.
Ladies and gentlemen, does this matter to you? Does it matter to you that Mitt Romney is a Mormon, or that his church, the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints, actually did something good? Does that make a difference in whether or not you support him for president? Give us a call, 800-881-9270. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to know right now where you stand on this presidential race. Also, does it matter that Bill Clinton is out there campaigning for Hillary? Does it help? Does it hurt? Do we want another Clinton or a couple of Clintons back in the White House, a co-presidency? Again, the number is 800-881-9270. Well, it looks like we are not going to have California Assemblyman Joel Anderson with us. But this is an issue that I've been looking at and following lately. And it saddens me because Governor Schwarzenegger in California stood against some of this legislation for a while, but he's finally decided to sign these four bills that have to do with really pushing the homosexual agenda on the citizens of California through the schools. And so an article that I'm reading that's actually been written by the Capital Resource Institute in California, printed in WorldNet Daily. Mom and dad, as well as husband and wife, effectively have been banned from California schools under a bill signed by Governor Schwarzenegger. With his signature, he basically ordered public schools to allow boys to use girls' restrooms and locker rooms and vice versa. This is because gender identity, whether you think you're a man or think you're a woman, now cannot play into your decision about what school facilities you get to use. With his signature of these various bills, one of them being SB 777, which bans anything in public schools that could be interpreted as negative toward homosexuality or bisexuality or other alternative lifestyles. With that signature, he's basically told parents that their values are irrelevant. And so textbooks that might be talking about families, if they portray in a mom and a dad, they also have to have as equal playing, on an equal plane, equal playing field, same-sex couples, two moms, two dads, whatever. How many parents are going to end up being in this equation? Polygamy may be next. Ladies and gentlemen, in California, really anything goes. Also, with regard to this legislation, it means that you really can't define the gender of, say, the prom king or the prom queen. Now you could have a male prom queen, or a female prom king. There's another piece of legislation which targets parents and teachers for indoctrination, basically saying that in no way can anything in the schools be able to be construed as discriminating or having some sort of a bias against gender. And this has also includes cross-dressing, sex changes, people who are confused about their sexual orientation. That's where the bathrooms come in. There's so much that this legislation really brings in and introduces into the schools that I think it would mandate a full segment with Joel Anderson or some other expert from California. And we will do that later on, since we didn't get him today. But let's go back to the phones and talk about the presidential race. I've asked you, does Mitt Romney's Mormonism matter to you? Does his religion matter? And also, is Bill Clinton helping or hurting his wife? Do we really need a couple of Clintons back in the White House? Let's go to the phones. Mark is in Dallas. Mark, thanks for calling.
Sure. Quick question. You asked, or quick comment. Yes, his faith does affect it somewhat. However, a bigger problem, I think, is I'm afraid that the evangelical Christians are going to wake up the day after the election with a bad hangover, and that's going to be Hillary Clinton's going to be elected. And the reason is this. This overanalyzing of Mitt Romney and so forth, they're eating him alive, and it's the evangelical Christian, like talk shows and so forth, they're just picking him apart. The media loves this, and that's what's got me concerned. I think a bigger problem is she's going to be in the White House because of all this analyzing and just eating, just picking him to death. And yes, I do believe Bill Clinton is helping his wife get elected. He's like him or hate him. She is pulling out the big guns. People like him. And I'm an evangelical Christian. Don't get me wrong. I'm all for having a Republican in the White House. But I think that every talk show I turn to, they are just eating their own. They're just picking Mitt Romney apart over this Mormon thing. It does maybe affect me a little bit or bothers me. But I can promise you, she being in the White House affects me a lot more.
Mark, I see your point. There's two sides and two ways of looking at this. One way of looking at it is we're in a primary season. So if you really care about who the candidate is, now's the time to speak up or forever hold your peace. And so, you know, people are talking about who they'd like to see there and why they wouldn't like to see this person or that person. But there's another rule that Ronald Reagan used to have about not going too far in criticizing somebody in your own party. And he tried to follow that rule. And I heard Rudy Giuliani say that he's trying to follow that rule. Unless somebody really comes after him, then he'll fight back. But, you know, he could afford that as the front runner, although he's no longer now the front runner.
Right.
But I really think, you know, in a sense, we need to be able to talk about what's important to us. But I do agree with you that we need to be careful how we do it. We may be talking about our guy's running mate or even the guy on the top of the ticket who we're going to end up supporting later on. So it's a very good point. Thank you for calling. Let's go to Jan now in Rockwall. Jan, thanks for calling.
Hi, Penna. Thank you for taking my call. My biggest concern about Mitt Romney is not so much his Mormonism, although I do have a concern about that because his beliefs are so foreign to Scripture, obviously. But my concern is the man is a liberal. He's not, I don't believe, at least, that he's truly a conservative. I think he's just a conservative for convenience. And I know that in Massachusetts, I believe he passed a very liberal health care program for the citizens there. And
it's pretty much universal health care for Massachusetts,
yeah,
and he
exactly
says he wants that for the country.
That Hillary supports. I mean, she's always supported that. So it's the same kind of program that she's been pushing. So I think that the people need to know that. I really want them to know that because the man, I don't believe, is truly conservative. I think he's just using it for this election. And I'm a Mike Huckabee supporter, so I'm going to push Mike Huckabee. I believe he's strong and has the kind of beliefs and the kind of things that we need to be put in the White House, and I hope that that's what the people will do, but that's my position. I don't think that Bill is hurting or helping as much as people think. I think a lot of that is the media. I really do. Bill was a terrible president. We all know what he did, what he stood for, what his morals were. So I personally think that there's too many of us who see it that way, and that I don't think that he's helping her as much as everybody would like to think he is.
Some people in the Democrat Party agree with you, and they're a little bit worried about what Bill will say. They can't control him. He pretty much says what he wants when he's out there on the campaign trail. But he does draw a crowd, and there are a lot of people that like him. Well, we'll continue to take your calls on this issue. The number is 800-881-9270. Senator John McCain, again, as I said, getting some key endorsements. Will that matter? Will that push him ahead? What about Mike Huckabee's criticism of President Bush's foreign policy over the weekend? What does it mean? What does he mean by calling it arrogant? We'll talk about Obama. We'll talk about Hillary. We'll just talk about politics, the presidential race, right after this.
If you're looking for a college experience that is distinctively Christian, come to Criswell College. Contact us today for information about the upcoming term. Criswell College places a strong emphasis on the Word of God, a Christian worldview, and being an effective witness to a world that needs Jesus Christ. Criswell College is totally committed to the Bible as the authoritative, inspired, and inerrant Word of God to ensure that every student receives a solid biblical and doctrinal foundation. Our worldview approach to ministry prepares every Criswell College student to view each academic discipline through a Christian frame of reference and to engage our culture and the world of ideas from a Christian perspective. Along with this word and worldview emphasis, each Criswell College student gets hands-on ministry training in missions and evangelism to be an effective witness through mission trips at home and abroad. Contact Criswell College today for information about the upcoming term. Call 1-800-899-0012 or on the web go to criswell.edu. That's criswell.edu. You're listening to Jerry Johnson Live. Now here's Penna Dexter.
I think we have tremendous momentum. I feel it every day. Obviously, the Des Moines Register endorsement was a great validation of my campaign and my candidacy. It made the case that what we need right now in America is proven leadership.
All right, the Clinton campaign is pulling out all the stops. Yesterday on the Charlie Rose Show, Bill Clinton repeatedly questioned Barack Obama's preparedness for the White House. Actually, this was on Saturday. And he said, you know, he noted the fact that Obama only took office in January of 2005. About 2 years later, he became a presidential candidate. So he's saying, you know, we're rolling the dice. He's talking to Democrats. If we allow him to become our nominee, the whole electorate might say he's not experienced enough. I'd love to know if you've got an opinion on that. Do you think Barack Obama's experience is going to matter? Who do you think is more electable on the Democrat side, Hillary Rodham Clinton or Barack Obama? And also, is her husband, Bill Clinton, out there on the campaign trail with her and for her? Is he helping her or hurting her? Actually, they don't go out together. He goes one place, she goes another, and Chelsea's out there too, and they're really working hard to try to get back the lead in the state of Iowa. Ladies and gentlemen, again, as I said, we are taking your calls, and let's go to Georgia in Dallas. Georgia, thanks for calling.
Oh, thank you very much. Love the show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to make a comment in terms of a concern that I have with Hillary. I'm definitely a conservative Christian, but I'm also a corporate America woman. And one of my concerns with the Clintons is, of course, I didn't vote for them then and I wouldn't vote for them now, but I think that there are a lot of women in my demographic that are 40s and 50s that have been in corporate America that are also Christians, but may be swayed by the fact that she's a woman and somehow getting behind some kind of pseudo-feminism role, even though they're Christians, and I've heard a lot of women talking about that. And so I don't want to downplay that possibility, and that's very real and concerning to me.
I think it's a good possibility also. We've had even one caller that I can remember who sounded like a really conservative Christian woman who said she just doesn't know whether she should go with, you know, the woman candidate. She doesn't know whether to be loyal to her conservative Christian beliefs or her gender. And you think a lot of other folks, even Christians, are thinking like she is?
Absolutely. And I think, unfortunately, likewise with non-Christians, I know a lot of non-Christian women that are solely backing her because of this belief that, well, a woman needs to get into the to the White House. It's about time. It's something that they've been touting for some time. So almost becomes a point of whatever she stands for and whatever her beliefs are almost not an issue, which is insane, in my opinion.
They're really secondary. They shouldn't matter. You know, the race, gender of the person should not matter, but the reality is in many people's minds it does. Thank you for bringing this up. I really appreciate it, Georgia. And let's add that to our discussion today. Should it matter? Does her sex help her? Does it hurt her? And should it? Give us a call, 800-881-9270. I also want to throw one more topic in because this has been in the news. Mike Huckabee, a Republican candidate, he's ahead in Iowa. He's pretty much ahead in South Carolina. He even is tied for first place with Rudy Giuliani in many of the national polls. He said on CNN's Late Edition that a strong military is a must in the fight against terrorism.
I believe that America has to have the strongest possible military on the face of the planet, so strong that nobody wants to engage us in battle.
Okay, conservatives can certainly agree with that statement, but here's another statement that's gotten a lot of play the last day or so. He said in an article, I think it was for Foreign Affairs magazine, that the Bush administration's foreign policy is arrogant. And on CNN, he was asked to explain this. He says the foreign policy of our administration is arrogant when it comes to fighting the war on terror.
We've sort of said, look, this is what we're going to do, and whether or not anyone is willing to sit down and talk with us about it, we're going to do it. And if you don't go along with us, then you're with the enemy, not with us.
He sounds like a Democrat when he talks that way. He sounds like one of Nancy Pelosi's members of Congress. And so that's very interesting. Does this matter to you? And are we overplaying this type of a statement? Mike Huckabee certainly appeals to conservative Christians on the social issues, on the immigration issue. Even though he has been criticized, he's come out with a very strong policy with regard to the border and with a plan for immigration. On the tax criticism that he's received, he's explained a lot of the taxing that was done. He needed to tax to build some highways and do some other things in Arkansas. And, of course, he's very concerned about middle America and how well the average working man is doing. He appeals to the class of people that really was the Reagan Democrat. And I think that's part of what he's trying to do here. But what about this statement that the Bush administration has an arrogant foreign policy? Let's go back to the phones and talk to Renee in Plano.
Hi.
Hi, Renee.
I think that was a very naive statement for Huckabee to make, and I cannot support him. I know you can always justify your reasons for your stance on immigration. I'm for strong borders, a wall. I'm for minimizing the role of federal government. And then for Hillary, then going back to Hillary's statement or her ad where, you know, she traveled as first lady meeting, you know, leaders of foreign nations. Well, that really wasn't her role. I mean, this is a boondoggle for her in Chelsea, and she's trying to make it into a lesson in leadership.
She wasn't in on those meetings and those negotiations that took place in those countries. So who do you support?
I support a strong immigration policy, close the border. We want to invite people in that will be a benefit to the U.S.
Is that your number one issue, immigration?
Huh?
Is immigration?
Immigration is very high on my list because if you have porous borders and you don't know who's in your country, you're just leaving us wide open to attack, and it is the role of the government to protect us.
I think we've had a big lesson in that these last several months when we've tried to, when our Congress has tried to foist on us comprehensive immigration reform. Who's the best candidate for that issue?
Well, I liked Duncan, but he's not in, so I like Fred now.
Fred Thompson? Mm-hmm. Do you think Fred has a chance? You know, he was kind of the last best hope for Christian conservatives, and he seems to have disappointed some. Do you think he can rise in the early states?
I hope so.
Okay.
I hope so.
Well, thanks, Renee. And I think you're voicing the thoughts and concerns of many people who see immigration as one of the real important issues. Let's go now to Cynthia in Texas. Cynthia, thanks for calling.
Yes. Well, I would like to come in on the presidency. Well, I voted for Bush because of his moral standards. And I don't think they should nominate anyone that act like they're schizophrenic. They don't know the difference between right and wrong. Well, in the beginning, God said male and female. I feel that when people are deceptive, they try to hide, they try to change their identity of who they really are. And I think it's kind of like a compromise to get anything done. And I believe in somebody having courage to tell the truth and be strong and being courageous and not being mixed up in the head.
Okay, strong and courageous. And certainly the life issue is one of those issues on which we need a clear statement. We know that certain candidates are pro-life. Some have made that statement stronger than others. Some have switched from being pro-choice or pro-abortion to pro-life. And one of those is Mitt Romney. He now stresses he is pro-life.
The first step, in my view, is that Roe v. Wade be overturned. And ultimately, as an aspirational goal, I would love it if America came to a point where we are not today, where the people of America would welcome a society that did not have abortion. But that's not where we are.
Are we? Are we there yet? Would we like to overturn Roe versus Wade, make abortion illegal state by state or in all 50 states? I don't know. I think part of the country is getting ready for that. It may happen in the next presidential term. Give us a call with your opinions. Again, we're taking your calls at 800-881-9270. Let's go to David in Dallas. Hi, David. I guess we lost him. Let's go to Bob and Terrell. Hi, Bob.
Hello, Penna. I was offended when I heard the comment about when Huckabee said that Bush was arrogant with his foreign policy. I'm very proud the way President Bush has been with his foreign policy, because he's shown the Iraqis that are the terrorists with Al-Qaeda that he's not going to be pushed around. That's one thing Bill Clinton didn't ever do. He was a wimp when it came to foreign policy, and he was a coward.
Well, Bob, you're a Huckabee supporter. What's up with him?
I didn't like the fact that he said that he was arrogant with foreign policy, because that's one thing that Huckabee has not proved to me yet about his foreign policy agenda and everything yet.
He chose a campaign manager last week, Ed Rollins, who was the campaign chief for Ronald Reagan. And in a sense, there are some things that Huckabee's got to get together, and he needs to explain that particular statement. I think it's a little bit disturbing to those who do agree that the way we've prosecuted the war on terror, though not perfect by any means, is the correct way to go. And I've noticed John McCain getting a lot of attention lately. I don't know where he's going to go in the polls, but he's been pretty clear stating that very thing. That he believes that, yes, the policy was wrong at first because we didn't have enough troops. Once the surge came, he thinks that made all the difference in the world. And now the progress that's being made over in Iraq could extend to the rest of the Middle East. At least that's what McCain said in a big piece on him over the weekend in the Wall Street Journal. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the Grinch is still at it.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel.
We've lost the battle over manger scenes. I think we have anyway. They're legal, but they've got to have reindeer or Santas around them. So what's the status of the war on Christmas? We're going to ask somebody on the front lines of this, Mike Johnson of the Alliance Defense Fund, next on Jerry Johnson Live. Stay with us.
You're listening to Jerry Johnson Live. Now here's Penna Dexter.
Are you about worn out of all the television commercials you've been seeing? Mostly about politics. I don't blame you. At this time of year, sometimes it's nice to pull aside from all of that and just remember that what really matters is the celebration of the birth of Christ and being with our family and our friends. I hope that you and your family will have a magnificent Christmas season. And on behalf of all of us, God bless and Merry Christmas. I'm Mike Huckabee, and I approve this message.
Kind of a nice commercial. Mike Huckabee has a window pane behind him in this piece, and it looks like a cross behind him. And so Merry Christmas from Mike Huckabee and also from Jerry Johnson Live, and also, I'm sure, from the Alliance Defense Fund. Mike Johnson, Senior Legal Counsel, there is with us. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Penna. Merry Christmas indeed.
And same to you. I've been shopping over the weekend, and everybody says Happy Holidays, and I say Merry Christmas back and smile, and most of them don't do anything. You doing that?
I am, and can you believe we have to do that in states like Texas and in the Deep South? But, yeah, that's where we are in America.
Well, it's amazing. You know, one of the battles we've been fighting with regard to Christmas probably for 10 to 20 years is the battle over manger scenes on public property. And in a sense, I feel like we've lost it because the manger scenes have to have Santas and reindeers and other non-religious symbols around them, don't they?
Well, they do. You're referring to what we euphemistically refer to as the three reindeer rule, and that's what some of the federal courts say. If a city or a municipality or county is going to erect a nativity scene display, the courts look for secular symbols to be placed in close proximity around it so that the overall display is not exclusively or primarily religious. I mean, that, I think, is something that would make the Founding Fathers turn over in their graves, but that is the state of things in America under the court's interpretation of the First Amendment.
Okay, ADF for years has been fighting the Christmas wars. I remember a campaign you had, It's Okay to Say Merry Christmas, sort of alerting people to the fact that it really is okay. In fact, it's a good thing. But we give out this Grinch Award every day, and we're doing it up until Christmas. And who gets it, in your mind?
The Daily Award today, it's got to go to the Freedom From Religion Foundation. They're one of these smaller troublemaker groups allied with the ACLU and Americans United for the Separation of Church and State and all the rest. And they have been sending out a barrage of letters and threatening and attacking these public displays of the creche. And the most recent examples are in the state of Wisconsin. Over the last couple of days, I'm sure some of your listeners have heard about this flack, but they usually pick on the small towns, the small rural areas, as you know, Penna, and they picked on Peshtigo, Wisconsin, because they had a nativity display included in the city park. Well, the thing about it is that this park has been traditionally opened for private businesses and individuals to place holiday displays, and there's all kinds of secular, you know, the reindeer and the snowman and Santa Claus and all that. But there's a nativity scene there as well, and so the Freedom From Religion Foundation is beating the drums and threatening a lawsuit, so we had to get involved.
Did you have to, did they actually sue you, or were you able to just sort of educate them on what's legal?
Well, we just issued the letter on Friday and to the mayor and the city council there and said, listen, please stand your ground. Do not give in to these radical secularist demands from these troublemaker groups. The law is still on your side. Clearly, when the government opens up public property for private persons to bring their displays, they have to allow their religious symbols. Otherwise, they'd be violating those citizens' constitutional rights. So we explained all that in a legal opinion letter and assured the city that if there ever was a lawsuit, which there won't be, Penna, we would defend them completely free of charge.
Well, that's the great thing about Alliance Defense Fund is people who know that there's a problem but might be deterred from fighting back because of money and monetary concerns can give you guys a call. How do because I know there are people running into this thing in our listening audience. How do they get some help from ADF?
Well, they can give us a call or go to the website, and you're right, it's being faced right now as we speak in places like Dallas, Georgia, and the little towns in Arizona, Washington State, all over the place. If anyone is confronted by this nonsense, let us know. We'd be glad to help. All of our services are completely free of charge, and the 800 number is 1-800-TELL-ADF. The website is www.telladf.org. And Penn, as you know, we also have a special site just for this issue every year, part of our Christmas project, and that is www.saychristmas.org. A great review of the law is provided there, and it's all downloadable free of charge.
If you want to look at some absurd stories, you can go to that website. It's www.saychristmas.org, a part of the Alliance Defense Fund. Well, also, let's get some more of these Wisconsin stories, Mike, because it seems like the Grinch Award goes to this organization that's wreaking havoc in that state.
Well, they are. They've also tried this bullying tactic on a bigger city, Green Bay, Wisconsin. They opened up their public there, the city hall, for displays. And when one of the city council members offered in his individual capacity, a nativity scene there, it really created some chaos, and the bad guys came calling and did all of their normal, barking about it. And so we've had to intervene there as well, and we've issued a similar letter to Green Bay, as we have all these other cities across the country, and we said, listen, we've got 1,100 Christian lawyers. We are funded and equipped for this battle. We will beat these guys in court if they actually try to make an issue of this. But we can almost guarantee them there won't be a lawsuit because there's no law to support the Freedom From Religion Foundation's assertions. The law is on our side, and I think we do well to remember that.
Mike Johnson with the Alliance Defense Fund is with me. Mike, another place where, in my mind, I feel like we've lost, or at least incrementally lost, is in the public schools. using the word Christmas in any way, celebrating the word Christmas. I mean, last week we talked to the folks, your friends at Liberty Legal Institute down here in Dallas, talking about what can happen in the public schools. And for instance, in Plano, Texas, there's this whole problem with bringing the candy cane story into the classroom. It's been forbidden. And, you know, the winter concert, the winter break cannot be called Christmas break. I mean, it seems like schools across the country are just complying with this nonsense.
Well, they are, and a lot of that is based on misinformation, a misunderstanding about the Constitution and what our rights are. And it is ridiculous that Americans have to think twice about whether it's okay to celebrate Christmas in public or on a public school campus. And I know my good friends there reminded your audience that, you know, students can sing religious Christmas carols, they can study the religious origins of Christmas, they can even read the biblical accounts of the birth of Christ right in the classroom. They can exhibit religious symbols, they can express their faith and their religious viewpoints in their artwork and class assignments. There's a wide array of rights that students have on campus because, as the Supreme Court said, you don't shed your constitutional rights to free speech when you walk through the schoolhouse gate. So that applies in December just as any other time during the year.
They really like to come after us in December, though. Okay, another case, and we've seen this in parades and different city-sponsored or corporate-sponsored events across the country where there's challenges over calling it a Christmas parade or a town square Christmas tree. And there in Arizona, well, you're not in Arizona, but ADF is headquartered in Arizona. There's been a battle over a Christmas tree. Tell us about that one.
Ah, yes. In one of these cities in Arizona, a small town again, they've gone after the local city's right to name their public tree a Christmas tree. And in Queen Creek, Arizona, these misled public officials there actually capitulated to these radical secularist demands, and they changed it to a holiday tree. And so we sent a letter. I mean, the community is outraged. They've got, I think, 60 emails in the first 24 hours to town officials expressing, you know, the citizens expressing their outrage over this political correctness run amok. We sent a letter and said, listen, there is no reason, no legal reason whatsoever to change the name of the tree. Call it what it is. It's a Christmas tree. And by the way, 95% of Americans celebrate Christmas. So, you know, Congress has declared it a national public holiday. To suggest that we can't refer to that in public or celebrate it publicly is just nonsense.
You know, Mitt Romney made a speech about religion recently, and, you know, we have on this program challenged some of the things that he said, but I thought there was something very interesting that he said that I want to get your reaction to. One of his statements was, freedom requires religion, just as religion requires freedom. Now, I believe our founders thought that. Do you?
Oh, I do. I mean, if you look at their writings and their own comments, I mean, you know, Washington famously said in his farewell address, of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. And what they meant by that is that, look, you know, we're building a constitutional republic here. It's still an experiment on the world stage, it was at the time, and it will only survive if the people maintain their respect and maintain these principles of religion and morality. And there's just no other way around it. That's clearly what they intended. All the founding fathers said it in their own words, and I think it's true. I think to maintain liberty, you have to have a religious and moral value to the people.
Mike Johnson, Alliance Defense Fund, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate your updates, and thanks for all the great work you do.
Hannah, thank you. I appreciate it so much, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Ladies and gentlemen, one of our listeners sent an email in, and she heard us talk about one of our Grinch Awards, which went to Lowe's, basically a home improvement store, and we gave them the Grinch Award, but she said she went to Lowe's on Jupiter and Northwest Highway and spoke to a manager and said, you know, kind of complained about this whole thing of taking Christmas out of their ads. And he said, yes, they had done that. They called the Christmas trees family trees, but they have changed their policy. They're now calling it a Christmas tree. She also said she noticed a huge box of wrapping paper labeled Christmas paper. So I want to say thank you very much to that listener for updating us. And I did find an article, CNS News, saying that Lowe's has said it was a big error to call the holiday trees, call the Christmas trees holiday trees. And they're apologizing for doing that in their Christmas catalog. And they say that was confusing, and they don't want to confuse their listeners, and they don't want to offend folks who love and celebrate Christmas. Well, ladies and gentlemen, next up, we're going to hear sort of a poem on a constitutionally correct Christmas.
If you're looking for a college experience that is distinctively Christian, come to Criswell College. Contact us today for information about the upcoming term. Criswell College places a strong emphasis on the Word of God, a Christian worldview, and being an effective witness to a world that needs Jesus Christ. Criswell College is totally committed to the Bible as the authoritative, inspired, and inerrant Word of God to ensure that every student receives a solid biblical and doctrinal foundation. Our worldview approach to ministry prepares every Criswell College student to view each academic discipline through a Christian frame of reference and to engage our culture and the world of ideas from a Christian perspective. Along with this word and worldview emphasis, each Criswell College student gets hands-on ministry training in missions and evangelism to be an effective witness through mission trips at home and abroad. Contact Criswell College today for information about the upcoming term. Call 1-800-899-0012 or on the web go to criswell.edu. That's criswell.edu. You're listening to Jerry Johnson Live. Now here's Penna Dexter.
Well, we're talking about Christmas here on Jerry Johnson Live, and in a moment we're going to hear a poem that was written by one of the Alliance Defense Fund lawyers. We just heard from Mike Johnson out there fighting the Christmas wars, but Joe and Franco... He's a great guy, really kind of a funny, wry sense of humor, and he's an attorney there at ADF. He trains people in constitutional law so they can go out and fight these battles. And he's got a poem, but first I want to ask you to call in if you're feeling like me. I've been going a bit crazy just with the busyness of Christmas, shopping, baking. I've been decorating my house. I decorated my tree finally last night, wrapping presents. And, you know, I love all that. It's a lot of fun. But it's not really what Christmas is all about, and sometimes I just long for some time to think about what Christmas really means and to really worship the Lord. And I was encouraged to do that in a church service yesterday. So give me a call if you have any thoughts on that. You know, are we going a little bit crazy with Christmas, taking it the wrong direction? 800-881-9270. But here's Joe and Franco's poem, God Rest Ye Weary Separatists.
God rest ye weary separatists. Let nothing you dismay. Remember how your thin-skinned hurt made Christmas go away. To save us from religion's snare and keep the creche at bay. O tidings of bah and humbug, bah and humbug. O tidings of bah and humbug. We must not say the dread C word, instead say holiday. For if someone should utter such, it could produce dismay. And their offense is too intense, it makes them run away. O tidings of bah and humbug, bah and humbug, O tidings of bah and humbug. The ACLU huffs and puffs whenever they do see a baby in a manger sitting by a Christmas tree. For Jesus brings them no delight on public property. O tidings of bah and humbug, bah and humbug, O tidings of bah and humbug. Though citizens throughout the land think these displays are blessed, the separatists are angry or the one who is distressed. And rather than just get along, they sue and bring unrest. O tidings of bah and humbug, bah and humbug, O tidings of bah and humbug. The ACLU gets angry if you mention Christmas trees, and when you do, they'll try to sue and get attorney's fees. They'll throw a fit and yell and spit until you're on your knees. O tidings of bah and humbug, bah and humbug, O tidings of bah and humbug. So if you love the season, don't be cowed by these mean types, and remember the reason and not all the silly hypes, and celebrate it proudly and ignore their petty gripes. O tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy, O tidings of comfort and joy.
Thank you, Larry Williams, for reading that. And that is a poem, again, by Joe and Franco of the Alliance Defense Fund. And, you know, we've got all these lawsuits going on at Christmas, and this is just necessary because some people are trying to strip Christ from Christmas. But also, I want to hear your thoughts about just the busyness of Christmas. And sometimes we're so busy that we never get the opportunity, even though we want to really meditate and contemplate on what Christmas really means. And so we're taking your calls on that issue. Scott is in Keller, Texas. Hi, Scott. Thanks for calling.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to comment on something you mentioned just a few minutes ago. You had talked about decorating your tree and everything, and how, that really kind of pales in comparison to the real reason for the season,
right?
If you were. And I guess my question, and something I often think about when it comes to this time of year, and I hear about all the wars on Christmas and Lowe's not calling it a Christmas tree, but a family tree or whatever it was they were calling it, is if Christ really is the reason for the season, then why do we really care what they call the Christmas tree? I mean, it's really not central to the gospel. And I think it kind of maybe sometimes takes us away from the gospel message, fighting over semantics of these words.
You know, there are
that's
two. That's a good comment, Scott. There are two things going on here. And I know that I remember when I was a young mother, I used to worry about the trappings of Christmas, the trees, Santa Claus, and all of that. And now, many years later, I'm looking at the secularists even trying to strip those from the culture. And I see that, in a sense, all the beauty and the splendor and the wonder of Christmas is something that everyone enjoys, even non-believers. And so even though that was sort of drawing us Christians away from what Christian is really all about, in a sense, I'm not willing to lose that. I'm not willing to lose the magic and the celebration of Christmas, because I think it will leave our culture and our society poorer. Now, that being said, I think it's important, though, for us to stress the reason for the season any opportunity that we have, and every time we have to be able to do that. And so that's why we opened up the phones to allow you to make a comment on that. Are you as exhausted as I am? And Christmas is a little more than a week away, and I still have, you know, most of my shopping to do, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, looking back to some totalitarian regimes when we were fighting communism, we saw those cultures, for instance, in different countries in the Soviet Union, where there were these attempts by the government, and they really were pretty successful in squelching the celebration of Christmas. They just basically moved it in some places to New Year's. Communists feared Christianity so much that they just gradually began to secularize the Christmas holiday, and they wrote Jesus out of Christmas carols. They banned Saint Nicholas. They banned Christmas trees. Now, the people wouldn't let it go, just as people are fighting now these Christmas wars, insisting on saying Merry Christmas and insisting on calling it a Christmas parade or a Christmas tree, Christmas vacation, whatever you can do to keep Christ and Christmas, even in a sort of a quote-unquote secular way. That's what the people did. They moved these traditions to New Year's. And, you know, our nation still is overwhelmingly Christian. We pride ourselves on our tolerance of all religions, or even of no religion. I mean, you can be an atheist here and still live in a free country and live freely and express your opinions. But Christians, I think, must remain vigilant. We must constantly, winsomely seek to remain the primary drivers and influencers of culture in America. And I think that's what we are doing by trying to maintain the traditional celebrations of Christmas. But still, I think it is very important to do as Scott said, and move for a time, at least for a time during the holiday season, into a time of just worshiping the Lord Jesus and remembering that this is a time when God sent his Son. Because he loved the world so much, he sent his Son so that his church might have a relationship with him. I'm sure it wasn't really fun for Jesus, the second person of the Godhead, to come to earth and have to live here. But he did that because he loved us so much. Well, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow we're going to have a theology discussion. It's going to be the theology of the incarnation. Dr. Johnson has been teaching that in the fourth segment of many shows leading up to this. And now tomorrow he will be here, and also Dr. Daryl Bach, who is a research professor at Dallas Theological Seminary, going to join us to answer the question, why did God send his Son in the form of a man? Join us then, and have a great evening.
You've been listening to Jerry Johnson Live, a Christian Worldview radio show. Join Dr. Jerry Johnson, president of Criswell College and Criswell Communications, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. for an hour of relevant discussion of news and culture from a Christian perspective.